Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear. I'm Susan Larison-Dance, and today is Saturday, October 26th, 2024. And as is the tradition on this date, I am here live and spontaneously broadcasting the anniversary episode of the Frontier Beyond Fear. This is the 14th anniversary, launching the 15th season of this broadcast, which started right here on Blog Talk Radio in 2010. And it's probably one of the longest lasting shows on Blog Talk Radio. I'm not sure what other shows have been around. I know some others have been around a long time. I have really appreciated this platform, and it's worked out really well for me. And also, the show is widely syndicated on others. You can always find the podcast here on Blog Talk Radio, or you can find it on other syndicates like iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and others. So today, as is the tradition, although I don't do this every anniversary, but it certainly is a tradition on this show, and I know that I'm going to be coming to this in a unique way, given how every time I do this, we're in unique life situations and unique societal situations. I certainly appreciate that this show is listened to beyond the United States, where it originates. I appreciate that each of you, no matter where you are, you find yourself in a very special situation, whatever that may be. Now, of course, I need to speak from the perspective of where I am. And given that this show has originated all these years, or started at the end of October, this isn't the first time, of course, that we were in the midst of election season here in the United States, or a presidential election like we are today. And what is special about this show is it speaks to people wherever you are, whatever your point of view may be. It's not particularly political, but it speaks from the heart and does talk about things that underlie, you know, what is that word, political, anyway? These things come from who we are, from our authentic selves, from our authentic life experiences. And so how we come to the world, how we see it, is going to be unique for each and every one of us. Not a one of us has exactly the same perspective. And that's often overlooked. And the wonderful thing about podcasting is it allows us to the best of our abilities, and none of us does this perfectly. I do not do this to as much of a degree as probably I would like, but it is an expression of our authentic voices. It is the essence of freedom of expression and freely being who we are, because we need to have a diversity of ideas that are out there. That's what freedom is, and that's how you can truly work out for yourself what makes sense, what comes to you from the heart. This is a spiritual broadcast, and there are those in this world right now who would like to shut down spirituality altogether because they think it is a belief system and they do not think it is true. And unfortunately, that would be a dire path for humanity, because spirituality is real, is true, there is evidence of it, and the materialistic paradigm, which I often talk about, and actually had that wonderful opportunity in this past year to be once again speaking in person, and quite visibly at a conference in April. I don't know when I'll be able to do that again. I would love to see a time. I'm never going to be a person who does that all the time. That's just not my path. But it was very powerful. And spiritual voices do need to speak, especially those of us who come from the sciences. And as I now emphasize, I noticed a year ago when I put out the last anniversary episode, I wasn't emphasizing as much my background in AI, for example. That has become much more important in the last year to talk about. I think I did talk about it before, but, you know, it gets ever more important to talk about how our intuitive selves, our divine essence, as human beings, can never be replicated by something that is artificial. And also our creativity is so important. And, you know, I had an experience just in the last week where I was considering a project. And, you know, I have to be honest, this does show how, you know, just how alluring AI can be. Is I was looking at a potential project that would involve some artwork. And, you know, since the costs would be much higher, and now is not a time where I could have that artwork professionally done. And I know wonderful artists, including the artists for the show imagery, that, in fact, I want to recognize him. Richard Crooks did the artwork for The Frontier Beyond Fear many, many years ago. So I was considering, you know, maybe using AI to generate some art. And it's very tempting, especially when you yourself don't have the talent in art. You know, I'm never going to be an artist at that level, even if I were to play with art. I think everyone has some talent in art. And, you know, despite the temptation to do that, I really feel I'll find another way that won't actually involve either an artist. It'll involve, you know, historic type imagery that I can. This has to do with my prophetess project, which I've been talking about recently on this show, the Prophetess Legacy Project. You can learn more about me, by the way, and my projects at lightedbridge.com, or the site for this show is frontierbeyondfear.com. And you can, there's also a prophetesslegacy.com site, just prophetesslegacy.com, but it's very simple, though it does link to a more intricate MotherShipton.com site. And you'll find in the year to come, I'll be talking more about what the prophetesses have had to say. So I do want to encourage, I know podcasting has now become more popular than it was when I started out. Not everybody had a podcast back then. And now many more people do venture into podcasting or even really what is webcasting. In the year to come, this podcast will never be in video form. I prefer it to be audio. I may do some videos, though, in the year to come. And, you know, I'll certainly let my audience here know if I do. Some of them, I'm not sure they could be associated with any number of my projects. I do want to encourage you, if you feel called to share your voice and your authentic perspective, this is the time to do so. There are those who would like to believe that we all need to be the same or speak with the same voice. That is very contrary to spirituality. That is very contrary to who we are as souls and our diversity here on this planet. And why we came here as souls, to be our authentic selves. We're not puppets on a string. We are not being compelled to be a certain way. In fact, we are here to freely express ourselves. In fact, many would ask, and it's a good question, you know, why is the earth this way? You know, where there can be lots of challenges and there can be lots of mistakes and there is darkness and there is light. And those are big questions. But making everyone essentially a puppet or, cowering in fear to be a certain way, suppressing themselves, that could not be more incompatible with who we are as souls and who the divine really is, which is unconditionally loving. We would not be here as special as we are. We are beloved as who we are. And more and more, you know, I've changed over time as to how I feel about what is a productive way forward. For example, because of the dominance of really some ideas that would not be in our best interests as humanity, I no longer feel that just having, one worldwide way of doing various things, that somehow we could figure it out as some global body. I no longer believe that. I believe it's in community that we will find our way. And I think that's probably the way the universe is itself, you know, that there's a diversity of planets. That doesn't mean, you know, where did we ever get the idea that you just have to, you know, a lot of science fiction is like this, that every planet, you know, has its own entity or its own personality. No, every planet has a multitude of personalities and cultural identities, and every culture has to find its way forward. There have been dark ways forward, that's for sure, but we have to find our way forward as souls. That doesn't mean that we don't help to shine the light and help to encourage things that are loving and empathic and more compatible with the light. But I now am an advocate for community and a diversity of societies, because that is a much more stable path, actually, than just one. Because just one, and I was never necessarily an advocate for just one, but maybe, you know, I think that I've really had to think about this more in recent years. The problem with especially any kind of authority that's at that level is if it's in the wrong place, if it's not thinking correctly, and which can happen many times in the history of this world, then especially in our technological world, you're in real trouble. I mean, that then would lead you to a time of genuine darkness, especially if the materialists were to be dominant and try to stamp out spirituality. You can't do it, because spirituality in itself carries far more influenced just by what it is. It emerges through each and every heart, even through those who aren't spiritual, who think they aren't spiritual. You can never get rid of it because it's a part of who you are. But even so, I think our strength is in community, is in a diversity of communities. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13 now, which is the tradition that I've often done, and I'm no doubt going to stop and talk about things from the perspective of where we are today. Every time I do this, it's unique, and especially given the way I've been feeling lately, I can almost guarantee this will not be the same. It's never the same as how I have read it before. So, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Let's stop. You know, it's really interesting that that verse also includes of angels, how you could speak in the tongues of angels, but have not love. So we can pretend to be spiritual. There are those who may want to seem like they're spiritual, but they really aren't. They haven't really had a genuine spiritual experience. Maybe they're trying to influence those who are of a spiritual persuasion or have a projection of what those people may actually be like. But if you haven't actually experienced spirituality, you aren't going to know what that is like. And it is love is the essence of spirituality. Now, certainly the tongues of men, if we're just speaking and, you know, we may be very eloquent, but if we don't truly have love in our hearts and as a part of our intent, if we have some ulterior motive that is not based in love, then, as the verse says, we are only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. How interesting that a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, this is what I mean. This is going to be unique because I'm coming to new conclusions right now on these verses. How interesting. What does a gong or a clanging cymbal sound like? Well, it's rather uniform. I mean, sure, you can hear it fade, and there's a certain aspect to it that has uniqueness. But for the most part, there's nothing really unique. It's not like a voice that is flowing freely from the heart. It's just dead. It's like, sure, people use these things in their spiritual practices, but that's not what this is talking about here. It becomes meaningless, like it's just the same thing over and over and over again, and we've heard it all before, and how history repeats itself in such a way. So it doesn't matter how much you speak or how eloquent you are. If there is not love at the center, if there is some other motivation, then it will not be effective. Verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. This verse suggests, well, a number of things. You could be on a spiritual path that is very dark, there have been, although those two words don't really go together, you could have something that appears to be spiritual, that presents itself as a spiritual tradition and is not loving. There have been many examples in history that lead to very dark things. And you can be in a kind of a mystery school, fathom all the mysteries, have the gift of prophecy, be visionary in some ways, even have all this knowledge about the world. In fact, I can think of, you know, you might be not in a spiritual tradition at all, on an academic path, and have all this knowledge, like this materialistic knowledge, which is a kind of a religion in itself, materialism. The other part of this verse is interesting. If I have a faith that can move mountains, so even if you really believe in this thing, maybe you are a dedicated materialist and you believe in it as much as you can believe in something. If you do not have love, you are nothing. It will amount to nothing. Love is the basis of who we are. And if you are abandoning that, and it is the gateway to spirituality, if that is being abandoned, it goes nowhere. Verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. So, if whatever your pursuit happens to be is loveless, and even if it looks, you know, maybe it's tremendously, it's taking up a lot of sacrifice, this pursuit. There are those who are on many false paths that have no truth to them and lack empathy or love. You cannot gain anything on those paths if they are loveless. You must find the love at the center, and it can't be fake. It can't just be the pretense of love. It must be love, and as it is about to be defined in the rest of these verses. Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. I think these speak for themselves, so I won't necessarily need to analyze these. Verse 5. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. I've talked about verse 5 many times, and it's really important. Now, of course, both verse 4 and 5, they present this paragon of perfection. None of us can meet this. None of us as a human being can be everything that verse 4 and 5 tell us. But we can certainly aim, whenever we fail, to be like this. And what's so wonderful about this kind of love is it keeps no record of wrongs. So it's okay to be imperfect as individuals, as our societies try and fail and seem to loop around. And, you know, we have people that, you know, are being suppressed, that, you know, there's a lot of judgmental behavior going on and anger and division. We have to work through that, but we can hold as an ideal what these verses say. Verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. I love that verse just because it makes truth so important. And we live in a time, and I'm sure this is true in many parts of the world as well, where finding what truth actually is not always easy. And there are those who will tell you, well, it's what we tell you what it is. Who's telling you? How do you know they have the truth or not some other motive? In fact, often they do have another motive. It could be greed, it could be power, it could be a lot of things. It really does require discernment on our part. It requires, yes, no matter what you've been told. This is true in the sciences as well. It requires individual motivation to search out the truth, because where we get into trouble as societies is when a truth that is an untruth, it is not a truth, is forced onto people without any justification, and it's basically their way or the highway, as the saying goes, and it's not a highway, although I guess it is a highway, the alternative to that way. We have value as individuals. We have value in our voices, in our opinions, and in our ability to do independent research. And it's very important, and has always been true, of the sciences and everything else. Being an analytical thinker is important. And it's being valued less and less. Now, I am going to note that the live show will end fairly soon, and obviously I won't finish by the end of the live show. I do want to thank those of you who have been listening live today. You can find this podcast when it'll be done. You'll be able to listen to it today on Blog Talk Radio or on other platforms. I will get it posted. I don't know if I'll get it up there today, maybe on frontierbeyondfear.com, the website, but you'll be able to listen to it in its entirety. I just want to thank those of you who joined me live today. If you are new to the show, welcome. I'm glad that you're here. I will continue. So, verse 6, what's so interesting is when there is not truth. When someone is trying to deceive us, that is the opposite of love, because they don't really care about you. They can pretend to care, but that doesn't mean they genuinely care. Someone who really cares about you wants you to be your own authentic self and wants you to have the freedom to be a thinking human being, a thinking, feeling, unique human being, and would value your input and your unique opinions. That's what love is. Truth can be difficult to find. Truth evolves as we make new discoveries. The truth is the truth, but our understanding of it evolves, and we only glimpse some of it. So, this part has to do with self-respect and mutual respect. And there are those who will claim to respect you, but couldn't give a care about you. They only care about themselves, sadly. Verse 7, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is a wonderful verse because it means that love, unconditional love, which is what we're talking about here, will never give up on you. This is what the divine actually is, because yes, we do have an understanding that the divine is love. It always protects, always, always. There's never any wavering. Always trust. Always hopes, always perseveres. So when you're coming from that standpoint of love, this is true for you, that you will find a way to trust. You will find a way to hope. You will find a way to persevere. you will have spiritual strength that those who are stuck in materialism or in some misguided path that is not a good path, they won't have it. But you will, because you will have love at the heart of what you feel and what you do and how you think. Verse 8. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. So no matter what happens in this world, love will never fail us. We're here on a journey as souls, and this place has many challenges. What everyone is feeling right now is we can trust, we can hope, we can have faith, but it's a very difficult time on the planet. We don't even know what's going to happen. We don't really know. And we can trust and have faith and say that, you know, we want to believe that it'll go this way, and we can maybe even envision that it'll go this way. But, you know, we can't really know, because the divine works in mysterious ways. And so sometimes, and I'm sure many of us can see this in our own lives often, we'll have what seems like a setback, but it's actually leading somewhere else that will help us to grow and to eventually get on a more productive path, one that is more compatible with love for one another and love for ourselves. Let's see if I have more to say about this. This verse also seems to talk about a time when things will pass away. You know, eventually, nothing lasts forever. Humanity will not last forever. The planet Earth will not last forever. And, you know, space travel is not going to be enough. There are those who think that we can continue forever. There is no forever for the physical. Eventually, things pass away. Think of other civilizations and how little we really know about them. Knowledge passes away, but love never fails. That's what verse 8 tells us. Verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. I'll go on to verse 10. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. I love this verse because it has to do with crossing the veil. You know, where we'll have fuller knowledge at that point. And we won't be in this human state where we've veiled ourselves from the greater reality. Verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Verse 11 talks about we can reach a certain level of spiritual maturity while we're here on this earth that is not as childish, but we're still not going to know as much as we will someday know when our souls return to where we originated, and then we'll evaluate all the reasons why we came here and see what is next on our journey. So this is about maturity. And, you know, we're in a state where we can't see everything, and we have greater maturity. I believe that our souls continue to mature over time. Verse 12. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. This verse I was thinking about earlier today, especially the part about being fully known. Why would it matter to be fully known if we were all supposed to think the same and be the same? How boring that would be. Look at the earth around you and how diverse it is. Look out the window and look at the diversity. Just think about the creatures on the earth itself. Then think about humanity. Why would people not value a diversity of viewpoints and of people and of cultural traditions and of so many different things and want us to be all the same? We'll never be all the same. You can try to suppress it. And there are those who have tried in certain cultures, and it's very sad, but it's funny. Those traditions still simmer under the surface no matter how much you try to press them down, because we are all unique individuals. We may be united and inseparable from the divine in that sense, but we are unique expressions of creation. It is a wondrous thing who we are. You are not just the ocean. You are not even a drop, which is not really, you're something much better than a drop. I mean, I guess you could say every snowflake, for example, looks different. And when they look at the composition of a drop, there's those who've studied water, you can see that every drop probably looks different. But to me, even that's too uniform, and it's often said that way. It's so much better than that. That's why community matters too. That's why you need to be your authentic self and know that you are loved and treasured for that and for all your imperfections. And those of us on a spiritual path are aiming to be more loving. And we know that we've had imperfection in our journey, and we know that we're still experiencing imperfection, and we know that there are places where there is more darkness. But the important thing is we bring, continue to grow and mature, is that we don't let the infants among us who are very unaware try to suppress who we are and what we know and the spiritual path. And this is very much true of the materialists, who unfortunately are like the blind leading those who can see, or trying to. And that isn't going to work, because it's not compatible with actual reality. I know materialists. I care about materialists, and I've known many. I want them to awaken as much as anybody else, because it's like living with your eyes closed, and the world is so much more amazing than they know. And it's sad. It's very sad to be stuck in such a limited reality. So I don't judge them per se. I just don't think that they have the maturity to decide for everybody else how things are going to go because of their limited reality. That would really result in a very dark and limiting future, and it would take a while for spirituality to emerge more fully. So we need to be our authentic selves, and we need to continue to do alternative research, for example. And it doesn't any kind of research. All the great discoverers were doing something that others hadn't wanted to do, or they even would mock or suppress or hadn't thought of yet. That's what discovery is in the science. And yet that would be suppressed as well, which is so ironic. Those who claim to know what science is and actually suppress the greatest part of it. So the other part of this verse is talking about, when you cross the veil, when you go back after this life, and let's talk about how there are those who claim, these materialists, they want to prolong physical life, or think that they can, but they don't understand consciousness or the soul, and they think that we're just mechanistic and can be merged with or contained in a computer. Well, that's very fallacious, because if you don't actually know the nature of a human being or of consciousness, you're not going to be able to artificially contain it. You really aren't. But if there was a way to somehow keep us alive in one body and live in some, you know, materialistic nightmare, although I'm not so sure that would even be possible because spirituality is real, that would be a very dark future for humanity. Because what this verse is talking about is that, you know, we're here when we're here, but when we're there, we're going to know more fully. And who knows what's next on the adventure for your soul. I don't believe that you as a personality just goes back to the ocean. I know that's taught very often and people say that's ego. No, no. You are a beautiful creation. Your story is important. It's a part of the Akash. If you want to use that term, the history of all things, the story of all things across time, your story matters. Every story matters, and every creation matters. I believe we're like rays of light, and we continue and we grow in new ways, as a personality even. It becomes a part of your soul. And it's very difficult to know fully because I'm not across the veil right now. But I know that we are valued as we are and having these experiences and how we're growing. I know that we must necessarily be, because that's what love is. That's what creation is. Verse 13. And now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Faith and hope. Hang on to them, my spiritual friends. I know we're not living through the easiest of times. No matter what happens, maintain the faith. Maintain the hope, and especially never lose sight of the unconditional love that is within you and from which no one can be separated. The person in the greatest darkness on this planet still cannot be completely cut off from that internal and external love, that which surrounds us, that which is a part of us. And yet each of us, unique, our stories, our journeys, authentic, valued, and loved. Can you love your own journey? Can you keep no record of wrongs? You can look at the imperfection and say, yeah, I learned something there, and go on and live another day and think about what love is and how to live in that way. And we make the world a better place by being who we are, right where we are. Whoever I'm speaking to, wherever you are, I know there are people in various parts of the world. It's hard to know what the audience for this show ever was, because supposedly, you know, in the old days, there were more bots and things like that. Who knows? Who cares? Whoever's listening, you matter. It doesn't matter how many. You're meant to be listening to me right now. Perhaps you're listening in the future where there are more people listening. This venture, what I'm doing, this expression of my authentic self, is being written onto the Akash as well, as is every one of my experiences. I was thinking today how one of the first ways I've always described myself is as a writer. And I was thinking, you know, is that really the first thing? Because I've always loved to write and I've always thought of myself as a writer. But you know what? I never, when I was younger, although I did speak, I tended to read what I'd written then. You know, have I expanded into really being a teacher first? I could say speaker, but I prefer teacher. And just spontaneously speaking, as I'm doing now, in a way, I do write. I don't share a lot of my writing. I do want to share more of it. So I'm certainly a writer. But in terms of how I more commonly express myself and have in recent years openly in the world, it's as a speaker. But I prefer the word teacher. And of course, that can encompass writing as well. And I hope, you know, and I'm as much a student as I am a teacher. We don't have to inject ego into it. But I am trying to convey that which I've come to know and what I'm learning right now. What's so interesting about the way that I speak and teach is that I'm learning right along with anyone listening. I'm looking at these verses, and every time I come up with something new because I'm studying and learning and conveying from that point. So even the word to teach, even that concept of being a teacher, it has embedded within it being a learner, because you're learning and you're conveying what you're learning as you go along. That's what I'm doing here. Some of these concepts I've developed over time, and one does build on another. But value your spontaneity. Value your journey in studying things. Don't feel you have to know everything to speak or to write or however you want to share it. Maybe you are an artist, and that's how you express yourself. Maybe you're a musician, and that's how you express yourself. I want you to be the greatest expression of yourself. I was watching a sports show earlier. I'm a sports fan. Tonight, my team, the Colorado Buffaloes, is playing. Because I went to the University of Colorado, and I enjoy following this football team, which supposedly has become quite popular. Some people even consider them, I heard them called America's team. We all enjoy watching this team. Well, I went to that school in my undergraduate years. And I saw this quote, which will probably be imperfect. It was from, they were talking about Corsi, who's a coach, forget his first name, I'm not an expert in all the coaches and everything, he was on this show and he was being celebrated at his university where he had taught or he had coached at Indiana. And it had to do with, well, what had he taught people? And one of the things, and I'm quoting this very imperfectly, had to do with when whatever you don't bring forward into the world, like if you leave something, if you hold something back, and we all do this. I know I've held things back, and I haven't been the full expression of all of my possible talents in my life. You have to think about this in the moment. Don't think about it with regret, although it can be associated with regret, what was stated, depending on where you are in your life. I mean, you may think, gosh, I wish I could have done more of this before. Whatever, you're here in this moment now, is that whatever you hold back isn't going to be out there, essentially. You leave it, you know, it's not on the table. You're holding it back. You're not expressing something that is your unique and authentic talent or something you have to say or share or do. And the encouragement of this coach was to bring it forward, because if you hold back, it's never going to be there. It will never be out there in the world. So I saw that, and that was a nice synchronicity today for this show. another thing I saw last night, I happened to just turn to a show, and I'm like, gosh, that place looks familiar where these musicians were. And sure enough, it was a college that I attended for a very short time and left. And you know, at first I thought, I sort of had regret because I thought, you know, I could have done this or that if I had stayed there. This is Colorado College, quite a prestigious place, although a smaller one, although it has a certain aura around it. And yet I left, and had I stayed there, I probably would have been I don't know what I would have been, maybe a historian, maybe a writer, a professor, who knows? It would have been in the humanities, I know that. Well, I wasn't supposed to, and I even knew it at the time, that it wasn't really a school where I could explore the possibility of being a computer scientist or something in the sciences as fully. There are some sciences that were, they had a particular way of doing classes. It didn't work as well in certain fields, certainly not at the time. And so I had to leave, and there were other reasons I left at the time. And while when I recognized the school and thought about, you know, there have been very influential thinkers who've come from there and think that, you know, maybe I could have accomplished this or that or who knows. That was my first impression. But then I got to thinking this morning but wait a second, then I never would have been in AI, for example. And as much as I feel that AI is not necessarily leading us to a good place, it's important that I was a part of that so that I can speak about it now, or that I went to this, you know, really was a prestigious university, one of the top computer science schools in the world. And how I managed to go there is just filled with synchronicity, but I did. And that all had to happen for a reason, so that I could be here now to talk about the sciences, for example, and AI in particular, and the technology, and, you know, whether that's truly advanced, as I've had many shows on here. None of that could have happened. And I wouldn't have been as diverse of a thinker, and I wouldn't have done what was really hard for me to do. You know, I didn't go into my easiest skill. I went into a more difficult skill and pursued that. That's important, too, in a way, how that challenged me. I'll never forget when I got my undergraduate degree at the University of Colorado, you had two choices there. You either went through electrical engineering if you wanted to be a computer scientist, or math. Well, I chose math because I wanted to also be in the humanities school, and took a number of courses that were great, you know, appreciation of music and different types of, I took two semesters of comparative religions, and because I was already showing interest in spirituality. That wasn't new, but I didn't become really awakened until later in life. But I had a spiritual interest for sure for many years. So anyway, I took a variety of classes, but the math part, it wasn't easy. It really challenged me. And I remember at one point thinking, what am I doing here? I still have dreams that I have some course I have to complete, and I haven't done it yet, and I don't remember anything, and I'm, you know, those school dreams you have, just because I took a difficult path. And so I didn't take my easiest path, which would have been in writing or maybe history or something. So it was all meant to be, and it all is carried forward to now. And my being a diverse person of interest who can express myself in a way that maybe not all scientifically oriented people who went into, especially technologists, who can be very focused in their field. Not all, but many. You know, I'm that diverse thinker. So everything on my academic path was meant to be the way that it was. I wasn't supposed to do this or that. I was supposed to be who I am. And that's true of our entire lives, not just what we study, who we are, the difficulties we fall into. My life has not been easy. I've been thinking about my life quite a bit. And, you know, it's not been an easy path, that's for sure. I've had a number of challenges, and it's not what I would have expected. And if I were to talk to my younger self, I would say, well, on the one hand, it really is amazing and, you know, beyond your wildest dreams, things that happen that are really, really good. However, there were all these challenges, and who knows what's up ahead, because it's not done yet. All of these things are meant to be on our journey. And you mean to tell me, whatever your story is, you're just supposed to throw it away, oh, that's just ego, and you just go to the ocean. Absolutely not. That is not creation. That is not even an example of the world. I'm looking out the window now. There's a beautiful tree, you know. Even just looking at a tree, that people have done poems about trees, you know. You are meant to be special. You are not the clone of someone else. And your thinking is unique. It is not supposed to be just, you know, you better think this way or no other way. That's not freedom. Nor is that productive. Nor is that a sign of a mature society. So I'm going to close out now. I'll say one more thing about fear, since the topic of this whole broadcast is supposed to be about fear. The frontier beyond fear is love. The opposite of fear is love. That came to me in a spiritual experience many years ago. I hadn't seen it written. I've seen others write it since. Love is light. Love reveals truth because it cares. Those who suppress truth to manipulate only pretend to care. They don't really care. And they have their own journeys they're on. They too are on a unique path of growth. Hopefully they'll learn and more light will be on their path. Hopefully maybe we can help some people get into a better way of thinking. That's our hope. Those of us who express our authentic selves. Yes, it takes courage to be authentic. It does, and we do it in pieces. We don't do it as fully as we'd like. We do it a step at a time. Value who you are. All of your experiences. There are those where you learned, where you failed, where you could have done better. Maybe even yesterday something happened. I bet we can all say something happened yesterday where we could have done better. That's life. That's being a human being. Love yourself. Feel how much you're loved. Love what that is that loves you, even if you can't quite label it, because there's so much love. It's alive. It's there for you. That's the frontier beyond fear. I should be back sometime in the coming week, maybe next Saturday, probably before then, but I might do it Saturday. Most likely I may be on again during the week sometime. I'm doing this show spontaneously now. There's no longer a regular time. So look for it. I don't know if you can still follow the show, if that still exists quite as it did. I think you can. So you can always try to follow it. I think you have to get a Blog Talk membership. You don't have to have a show, and it's free. But you can follow, or you can find it on Facebook. You can find me on X. You can find me on Instagram. I've been posting there more. I keep thinking I need to go to Pinterest again because it shows up in my search results. I have various websites, yes. FrontierBeyondFear.com is the one for the show. LightedBridge.com will lead you to some of my other interests, so including this show. So also I have a little fundraiser on the page if you want to support the show, and you'll find them on various pages of mine too, is just a partnership with Gaia that I have where if you go and you view something there or if you take advantage of a free offer or it will assist with the support of this show. So it's an easy way to support the show and you get a benefit as well. And you'll find a link to one of those opportunities on the show page today, which is the opportunity to freely view the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know?, which a lot of you may have heard of, but it's a very iconic spiritual movie. And then there's some other opportunities when you go there. So anyway, I do appreciate your support, those of you who are choosing to support the show in that simple way. So, okay. Well, thank you for being here for this 14th anniversary episode. The 15th year begins. We're heading into an interesting time. Yes. So we will bring the frontier beyond fear with us. It needs no label. It's love. I don't think I've ever said it quite in that way. It's unconditional love as described today. Take care, everyone. See you next time. I am Susan Larison Dance, and this is The Frontier Beyond Fear.